Ansell is proud to introduce the Sustainable Manufacturing Podcast, where thought leaders in the healthcare industry explore the latest innovations in eco-friendly business models and solutions. Our experts share insights on how to reduce waste and carbon emissions, all while maintaining the highest quality standards. Join us as we pave the way for a healthier and more sustainable future in healthcare. Welcome to this podcast, brought to you by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting, and now our host, publisher John Pritchard.
Hey everybody, John Pritchard here with the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. Today I had the pleasure of speaking with Artha Salgado, all the way from Sydney, Australia. Artha is the Director of Environmental Sustainability at Ansell and is a multi-skilled EHS and sustainability professional who is incredibly driven to ignite mindset change resulting in zero harm to people and the planet. We touch on the importance of reducing waste, carbon footprints, and developing more environmentally friendly surgical products. We also talk about how to engage with customers and stakeholders on sustainability issues and build awareness in this area, and how placing an emphasis on sustainable development impacts the manufacturing process. I love Artha's passion for the subject and really enjoyed our conversation. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast. So Artha, let's jump right in. What steps have your company taken to reduce its carbon footprint and become more environmentally sustainable?
That's an interesting question, John, because in most cases these days, everybody thinks that being environmentally sustainable is only dealing with carbon and you know focusing on climate change. But Ansell actually looks at it a bit more holistically. We look at it from an energy and emissions perspective. We look at it from a water stewardship perspective. In addition to that, we've gone to great lengths to achieve zero waste landfill across most manufacturing facilities. In addition to that, we've touched upon a bit of product stewardship from a packaging and product development standpoint. And most recently, we've been engaging with EIUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, to work on our biodiversity impacts and dependencies as well. So we look at it from a very holistic, broad perspective when it comes to environmental sustainability.
Interesting. Does Ansell have a sustainability policy or plan in place? And if so, what are the goals and targets?
So Ansell doesn't have a sustainability policy as such. Everything is integrated into our environmental policy. And that's something that we've been reviewing and revising as the organization matures over the years and our priorities shift and we focus a little bit more on specific areas. So that has been an evolving journey. So that's our policy. From a targets perspective, we have numerous ones. I'll touch upon some of the major targets that we have. The first being, as has been most widely publicized, I would say from a climate and emissions perspective, we have committed to get to net zero by 2040. And that also includes a midterm target of a 42% reduction in our scope 1 and 2 emissions by FY30, so 2030 for us, with a 2020 baseline. We've used the Science Based Targets Initiative to frame our scope 1 and 2 targets. So that's for scope 1 and 2. And on the same line of emissions and energy, we also have committed to RE100 to source 100% of our electricity from renewable sources by 2040 as well. That also has an interim target of 60% by 2030. In addition to that, on an energy front, we've also committed to EP100. Both of these programs are part of the Climate Group's programs. And for EP100, we've also committed to achieve or establish energy management systems across all our manufacturing sites by 2028, and then work towards improving our energy productivity. So that is essentially on climate and energy, emissions and energy run. And from a water perspective, we've worked with WRI over the last couple of years to better understand our water risks across all our manufacturing facilities and the basins in which they operate. So it's not a blanket target that we have. We looked at the risk that exists in the basins where our facilities operate. We also looked at the amount of water that we consume as well, because obviously we are in the glove manufacturing business from a very high level in addition to the body protection stuff. And glove manufacturing consumes a lot of water. So because of that, we are quite dependent on water. And we, using the information that we got from our risk assessments and our withdrawals quantities, we established tiered targets across all our manufacturing sites. And the rolled up version of that, those tiered targets or contextual targets, is essentially to achieve about a 35% reduction of our water withdrawals from a FY20 baseline by 2025 or FY25 for us. In addition to that, one of our greatest achievements, I would say, and has been one of our most challenging ones, has been where we've got to with zero waste to landfill. In 2019, we committed that we would get all our sites, manufacturing sites, to zero waste to landfill by the end of this fiscal year. And to date, as more recently as March, we've had 10 of the 12 sites which were within the scope certified externally by Intertech to achieving diversion rates exceeding 99%. From landfill, which is a significant amount, because if you look at Ansel, last year we generated about 18,000 metric tons of waste in our manufacturing facilities. And this is not just manufacturing waste, this is all the waste that's associated with it. So we've managed to divert over 99% of that waste from landfills, which is significant. That's just from an operational perspective. From a product and packaging perspective, we've been doing a lot of work in ensuring that our product packaging is recyclable, has more recycled content, is recyclable, and so on and so forth. In addition to that, our product development is also looking at being more sustainable holistically, considering life cycle impacts across the product cycle. Yeah, sorry, that was a long bit of a...
Yeah, those are some... lofty goals and comprehensive targets for sure. If we could, let's get into the weeds just a little bit. What efforts are you doing to reduce waste and promote recycling in your operations and supply chain?
So from an operations perspective, it has been quite an interesting challenge, I'd like to say, because waste is very, very, or how waste is managed rather, is very location specific. That is from where our operations are based and what type of waste get generated. It is also very dependent on the external environment as well. So from an infrastructure that is available in those areas to the legislation. So it has a lot of moving parts that we need to consider. But I would say the greatest achievement for us from an operations perspective has been the commitment of our teams, because you can put in as many waste bins as you would like across the shop floors, but if a person does not go and put the right type of waste in the right type of bin, that kind of causes for us to go down and then sort it at the end of the disposal process. So we focus quite significantly on segregation at source, and that has been, I would say, one of the greatest changes for us in getting mindset and culture involved and making sure our people are involved in the entire process. And that is from an internal perspective. From an external perspective, we've also had to look at some of our partnerships, the vendors that we work with on a regular basis, and how they dispose of the waste. Because as I said, we do get audited by Intertech. So they have a very strict criteria to which they adhere to when they certify sites as being zero waste landfill. So we need to make sure that all those audit requirements are also met in this process. And in some cases, we did have to change some of our partnerships because we needed to find better alternatives if we look at the waste management pyramid. And one of the main challenges that we have is Intertek standard does not accept incineration as a diversion. So if you just burn your waste in a commercial incinerator, for example, it's not counted as a diversion. So we had to relook at when we had facilities that were incinerating waste, we had to find solutions such as waste to energy or just completely eliminate those waste streams wherever possible. So we've done quite a bit of work looking at reducing, reusing, and recycling, and then looking at waste recovery or energy recovery in that process. So that is from an operational perspective. From a value chain perspective, and this is where one of our biggest challenges is about what happens to our products, because we don't have a lot of control about what happens when our products are with our customers or our end users. And again, this also depends quite a bit on infrastructure and legislation, because Ansell's products primarily are designed to protect people from exposures. And those could be chemical or mechanical in nature, or even biological. And in most cases, if our products are contaminated, by law, you're not allowed to dispose of it in any other way other than incineration. So that is a place where our hands are a little bit tied, but we are hoping that there will be changes in legislation as well as infrastructure and technology, which will allow us to recycle as much of that waste stream as possible.
Artha, so many of our listeners are worried about waste, and in particular, waste from packaging from their suppliers. What's Ansell doing to help them with that?
As I mentioned, John, so packaging is one of the areas which we focus on quite diligently. And I think the delivery timelines for our packaging goals and our packaging pledges is a little bit shorter than our broader environmental commitments. I think we're looking at about achieving some of these goals by 2026. So we look at packaging from two perspectives. One is from a use phase, where we promote the driving of minimal use and application of packaging from inception to delivery to the end users. And that is focusing on reducing plastic and paper packaging by 2026. So we look at reducing the overall of packaging that comes to end users. And we also look at converting all the paper-based packaging that we have to be made with recycled packaging, so it doesn't compromise the product integrity. And to do that, we look at elimination of zero-use materials and components. We look at more sustainable configurations. We drive digitization of some of the content. We try to minimize the material that is being used, and thereby also minimizing the shipping volume, so you get more packaging material or more product going into containers. And we also look at building partnerships with our value chain on this topic. So this means that when the packaging comes to our end users or our customers, we made sure that we are giving them the most sustainable packaging options available to optimize their utilization. So we will give you lighter, recyclable packaging, and we've removed whatever unnecessary components are there. So we've looked at that upstream by the time it comes to our supply, to our customers and end users. And then after they use this material, we need to make sure that they can do something with it, so it doesn't end up in landfill. We don't want to add another burden to our end users and customers. So we want to make sure that 100% of our packaging is recyclable, reusable, or compostable. And that is, again, looking at it from for delivery by 2026. And to do that, we promote the use of recyclable or compostable material. We look at circularity and how we can contribute towards a circular economy. We utilize as much as we can life cycle assessments and proper analysis to inform these choices, so we give the end users and customers the best possible end of life solution for the packaging that is being used. And that is kind of what we look at. So start off with reducing, then we promote recycling, reusing and recycling. That's kind of our approach for packaging. And one of the main things that we've done from a healthcare perspective in the past is, and is continuously evolving, is a smart pack, which has optimized packaging. And that's not something new. That's something we've been doing in the healthcare sector for many number of years. And that has been continuously evolving as well. So we don't sit on our laurels. We continue to strive to improve our smart pack technologies as well.
Very interesting. You know, so many of our listeners are really interested in surgical products. I'm curious, and you know, in particular, sustainable surgical products. What's Ansell's plan for developing sustainable surgical products, and what are the key focuses?
So this is where it becomes interesting when there are two, when you're a manufacturer of such diverse range of products, and not just surgical, but we look at examination, we look at industrial as well. So when we look at the impact or the life cycle impact of a product, and this is where we need to be very careful, because from the sourcing of the raw material to the final destination at the end of life of the product, there are impacts that occur. So we can focus as an organization, we can directly influence what happens during the manufacturing phase. Then we can influence what happens upstream in terms of the raw materials. And then we can engage with us customers and end users when it comes to the end of life part of it. So by all the environmental commitments that I talked about earlier that Ansell has applies to all our manufacturing sites, irrespective of whether it is surgical, industrial, or life sciences and so on. So as an example, if we were to shift all our electricity to renewables in one of our manufacturing facilities, that means the environmental impact of a product which is manufactured in that facility becomes small automatically. And it's not just one product line, it's everything that is manufactured there. If we swap over one of our thermal energy sources to something renewable, then even a larger portion of the footprint of that product in the manufacturing stage becomes more sustainable. And I specifically focused on those two, electrical and thermal part of it, because the energy consumed to manufacture products is about, from an operations perspective, about 90%+. I would even go so far as to say 95% of the emissions of a product. So if we look at renewables and we have internal operation commitments, whatever we do will impact during its life cycle. So it would have a positive environmental impact there. Again, if we use less water, if we do process improvements, that makes that product more sustainable. I've talked about the packaging part of it, so I'm not going to touch upon that too much. We are also working with our supply, with our sourcing partners, to see how they can reduce their footprint as well. So if our raw material suppliers, if our packaging suppliers, you know, those upstream of our manufacturing process, they are being more sustainable, and that is what we encourage them to do, then the upstream portion of the product life cycle also becomes smaller as well. And we hear a lot about products which can be composted, biodegraded, and so on. And there is a lot of, I want to say there's a lot of claims being made in the industry these days. And some of these have almost been knee-jerk type of reactions in terms of claims. But one thing that we need to make sure is that all these claims are backed by facts and data and science, and not bordering or infringing on the greenwashing spectrum of environmental claims, because everybody's looking for a green product, a sustainable product, but are those claims and commitments and so on really backed by science? Does it have the data behind it? Is something that we also need to be very mindful of. So we make sure that any claim that Ansell makes, with regard to its products goes through a very robust validation and vetting process. And if it does, if it's not backed by science, if it's not backed by data, you will not see Ansel making a claim. And in some cases, that is, that has been a bit challenging, but we know what can be done and what cannot be done. We will not expose our customers or end users to any risk of greenwashing as well, just to make a claim on sustainability. So whatever claims that Ansel makes, the talk about, we look at it from a very broad perspective, is, as they say, you can take our claim to the bank and be sure that we'll be backing those claims as well.
Very good. That's a very comprehensive conversation we've had so far. You know, when I think of the supply chain, the healthcare supply chain, it takes all the stakeholders. I'm kind of curious, how are you engaging your customers and stakeholders on these sustainability issues and build awareness of your efforts?
So we look at stakeholder engagement in a very structured manner. So if I was to first look at it from an upstream perspective, and I'm not obviously answered as a lot of stakeholders, so I'll probably touch upon only a couple of them. From an upstream supplier engagement perspective, Ansel actually became the first lead member of Oceania for CDP, the Carbon Disclosure Project, last year. And with that, we got and looked at about 30 plus of our suppliers and said, look, we are on a journey of sustainability. We need to make sure that you, as our partners, are on the journey with us. So we engage with them to start disclosing on CDP on their emissions as well as water on CDP on an annual basis. And in some cases, that was the first time some of them had even started looking at developing their inventories. This year, we've doubled that number and we've started engaging with more of our suppliers. So we're sending a very clear message saying, look, Ansel has, we have made commitments, and those commitments which are made, which we have made to our suppliers and our end users, essentially is a reflection of on you as well, because as part of our value chain, those commitments will require action from you as well. Because if our value chain is all not in sync, then we will have a challenge going forward. So that is the message that we've given to our partners. And I must say that they're being very positive on that as well. In addition to that, we've this year, a couple of months back in February, we actually had our first global supplier summit where we had some of our key partners joining in at a very high level. And the focus of that was, again, sustainability. So we had our product team was there, sales and marketing. It was timed along with a board meeting as well. So the chairman of the board was there to speak to them. The CEO was there. Most of the leadership team was there as well. And we talked to them about what R&D was doing, what operations was doing, what corporate governance teams were doing. And again, this is not just from an environmental perspective. We look quite strongly and intently from a social perspective as well, because of some of the labor rights challenges that are prevalent in our industry. We want to make sure that our suppliers are operating with the same amount of maturity and take onus, have the onus to make sure that the people that work within their supply chains are looked after right as well. So that is upstream. From a downstream perspective, when you look at customers and end users, in the past, most of the engagement used to be somebody would send us a tender document or an RFP or something like that and a questionnaire, and we would fill it out and send it back to them. But one thing we realized is that within the last couple of years, the content of these requests have been a bit more diverse and have been looking at it more from a climate perspective. So what we've started doing in some ways, the questions that are being asked of us, we really can't understand what the purpose or the intent of it is. So we have been going back to some of our key customers and looking at them and saying, look, how can we help you get to what you want to do? So it's not just about us filling out a form and sending it to them. We ask them, why do you need this information? Just so that we can look at providing them with information and details that can really provide the information that they require to answer their questions or their challenges. And like I said, a lot of folks focus only on emissions. Our story is a little bit more holistic, and that is what we also try to communicate to them about. We tell them, look, it's being sustainable is not just about dealing with climate change. Yes, that is a priority. Yes, having emissions targets are a good thing, but there's more to this than that. And that is what we want to educate them about. So this is the healthcare system, I would say, is an ecosystem. Everybody's interdependent. There's a lot of linkages here and there. And we need to make sure that everybody is on board with it. And finally, in addition to that, we also try to push some of the regulators as well to consider some of the changes that we're pushing, because if you remember last year, we sent some open letters out about the IFUs, for example, saying, you know, do we really need IFUs printed on pieces of paper? Why in this day and age can't we make it a QR code and make it digital? So we are also engaging with the regulatory stakeholders as well to drive changes which are positive. So it's across the board engagement, which is situational, and also depends on the maturity levels of the stakeholders that we're engaging as well.
Very good. Let's focus a little bit on your manufacturing facilities. Are there certifications or standards that the manufacturing facility meets to ensure sustainability?
Ooh, that's a broad one, but I'm glad that you focus specifically on sustainability, because if you were to talk about quality, product quality and stuff like that, that list is quite exhaustive. So from a sustainability point of view, the base for all our manufacturing facilities is ISO 14001. So that is the environmental management systems. So with the exception of one of our facilities, all our other sites are certified to ISO 14001. That's a base. Then our inventory, our GHG and emissions inventory is annually certified externally by Controlled Union at this point. And that is certified to ISO 14064 as well. As I mentioned, all the sites that we have got certified to zero waste landfill has been audited by Intertek, and those facilities are certified to zero waste landfill as well. And we are in the process, as I mentioned earlier, we are in the process of implementing energy management systems at our facilities. So once that is done, we are following ISO 50001 as the energy management system of choice. And therefore, the sites and facilities will be certified to that as well. So these are all from an environmental perspective. In addition to that, obviously we go from a social perspective, we go through audits and certifications, audits by SEDEX for the social compliance part of it as well, yeah.
Let's stay on manufacturing for just one more minute. What's Ansell's stance on sustainable development, and how does it impact the manufacturing process?
Well, sustainable development, essentially everything that I talked about for the last several minutes, is focused on sustainable development. Like I said, we are not looking at it from point of view. We are looking at it from a diverse points of view, which looks at climate. We look at it from water. We are now looking at it from biodiversity, material consumption, as well. So all of those factor into sustainable development from an environmental perspective. We also spend a lot of time on developing people, competencies, skill sets. We do a lot of philanthropic efforts for education, healthcare, as well, and a lot of community engagement with in the location that we operate. So from a people and a planet perspective, we contribute towards sustainable development on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, if you look at our sustainability report, we've actually highlighted some of the different goals that we contribute to as an organization year on year as well.
Yeah. Artha Salgado, Director of Environmental Sustainability at Ansell. Thank you so much for your time today. What an interesting conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Artha, thanks so much for being here and for being such a passionate thought leader in this area. Time and time again, I hear how important sustainability is to supply chain leaders, so it's great to see how Ansell is taking initiative and driving change. The Journal of Healthcare Contracting is proud to partner with manufacturers like Ansell. As always, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.